know what it is. You know what we're here to do. Back on screen today, beautiful Austin, Texas. I'm with the boys. We got Football Critic in here today. We got Primo here today, controlling the ones and twos on the Top Flat Pod when we're in studio. Shout out to my dude, Primo. And we got the president of the Real Madrid, Austin Peña. Shout out to my dude, Nef, El Madrista Más Tejano. Boys, how's everybody doing today? I'm starting off with you, Football Critic, because you got the Longhorn shirt, the shirt on today.
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm happy. I'm ready to give another to give it a go to another Podflight episode.
Dude, we got a couple of things to talk about. We got some news. Hector Jimenez, but we'll get into that. I want to introduce our other two speakers here tonight. Mind you, Primo, how are you doing today, bro?
Doing good, man. Easy Sunday, you know, just nice weather. Real smooth. Longhorns, baby. Longhorns, baby. Bro, when that was going on, I was just picturing that. That Bali picture,
like that, dude. It was perfect. Such a hit, such a hit. It's actually not Bali's body. It's Bali's head, but not his body. Yeah. I just want to put that out there. Shout out to my G Dini. Shout out to my G Dini. But Nef, my G, the Peña president. How are you doing today, bro?
I'm doing great. Had a good weekend. Good results. Looking forward to record tonight's episode.
Love it. Love the energy, boys. It was nice seeing y'all today. We had a little team meeting at Summer Moon Cafe. Some people told us that that place is kind of bleh. We should go somewhere else. So if you have any recommendations for our next team meeting, let us know. Shout out to Tony Photos. Shout out to Scotty. And shout out to JC. Next time, we're going to try to have everybody out there. But, gentlemen, we got a very interesting show tonight. We're going to talk about the Hector Jimenez move. Austin FC brought him back. We got some end-of-the-year awards that were voted on. They were voted by our Discord and Patreon members and also the guys from We Austin TV and Top Flight. We're also going to get into the conference finals. We had LAFC versus the Houston Dynamo. And on the other side, we had the Columbus Crew against Cincinnati. Two very interesting games. And at the end of the pod, we're going to touch up on, of course, European footy, because Girona is not letting off the gas. And maybe this was probably one of the most craziest EPL weekends in a long time. So without further ado, let's get into the episode tonight. Starting off with Hector Jimenez. Hector Jimenez is brought back by Austin FC for another season. It's the 2024. Maybe you can say it's the last dance. I don't know how much longer Hector has in his gas tank, but he's going to be here for one more season, y'all. So this is the statement from the Austin FC website, and it goes like this, y'all. Austin FC announced today the club exercised the contract option for defender Hector Jimenez. Jimenez remains under contract with the Verde and Black through the end of 2024 Major League Soccer season. Jimenez first signed with Austin ahead of the club's inaugural season and made 41 appearances over the last 3 years. Tallying a goal and 5 assists, he spent 7 years with Columbus Crew and 3 with the LA Galaxy before joining Austin FC, winning MLS Cup twice with LA and once with Columbus. Put some respect on his name, 3-time MLS champ. In total, Jimenez has played 227 MLS matches between the regular season and playoffs, scoring 7 goals and recording 30 assists. Now, this is a quote from Rodo Borrell that could give a little bit of clarity as to what kind of role Hector Jimenez is going to fulfill in 2024. Rodo Borrell says this, quote, "Hector is an excellent professional who consistently sets an example for other players. We're happy to have him remain with us this season." Starting off with you, a Football Critic, what are your thoughts on bringing him back for one more year with Austin FC?
Well, you know, this gives me a lot. It tells me a lot, right? I mean, I like Hector. I think he's a great player. I think he's a great person. I think he's that perfect person to have as a bridge in between, you know, Wolf, the coaching staff, and the team players, right? But I wasn't that excited. I'm not that excited to like to have him as another player for another year, right? I mean, don't get me wrong. I want him the team. I want him in the locker room. I want him as being part of the club. But having him as a right back backup yet another year, you know, it's like, well, why aren't we going for better, younger players, right? Mm-hmm. And the only thing I can think of is, hey, this is telling me just like, okay, like Rodo said, we have no money. He's preparing this 4 to 5 long-term plan to get the perfect roster. And Hector will be that player as he was just this past season, where he would come in just at the most needed time, right? Those dirty, meaningless minutes, or just when the team really needs him. Because beyond that, it's not that we're going to rely on him at all. He's not going to be a starter. He's not going to be anything. Something interesting is that I tweeted out, you know, hey, I wanted Hector as a coaching staff. I didn't really want him as a player. And whoever we get at right back is definitely going to be expected to play 70-20% out of the Austin FC games, right? And John Gallagher liked that tweet. So I don't know if he just liked it, like saying I disagree, like he disagreed with me in what I was saying, like he thinks Hector is a great, still has a lot to give, or if maybe Gallagher is taking that right back role again, assuming Zan is going to be healthy, and then Gallagher is the one who's going to be taking that 70-20% of games at the right back position with Hector as his backup. So we'll see what Royal has planned, we'll see what Wolf has planned. But I'm just saying, okay, maybe it's not the full right backs that I wanted, but I'll take Hector.
Interesting, Football Critic. Now, the tweet that you're talking about referencing, this is from your account on Twitter, at Football Critic, on December 1st, you said, I 100% wanted him as coaching staff. Renewing him as a player tells me we really don't want to spend on two right backs right now. Saving mode, on. We'll see what Rodo is truly cooking. Whatever right back we'll get, will be expected to play 70 to 80% of games like Lima. Did John Gallagher mean to like it? Did he accidentally like it? Football Critic makes a really good point there as to why John Gallagher was on social media right there reading everything up. Now, he wasn't the only player that was reading some responses. Danny Pereira was also seeing it kind of going through there. And, there was other players that were dibble-dabbling in social media when that was going on. But I want to get Primo's thoughts on this. His roster spot, bro, it's a supplemental spot. Now, we do have to point that out because a lot of fans, their reaction on social media was saying, hey, why are we re-signing this veteran player? He's 35 years old. He'll be 36 next year. He can't play more than 20, 25 minutes, 45. And that's not a knock on Hector. That's just what we saw last year, what the club used him for, right? So, Primo, I want to get your thoughts on this, mate. I mean, Hector is going to be in the supplemental spot. He was making 85K last year. I mean, do you have a problem with him occupying one of the least important spots on this roster?
Absolutely not. I think it was a good choice for the position that we're in right now. I mean, you can see the quote on Borrell. I can read it to you here. Hector is an excellent professional who consistently sets an example for other players. That says it all, bro.
Just with that, you know a lot.
Why he's being kept. And I couldn't agree more. I mean, some people were calling for, I saw this one tweet. Someone said, well, how come we don't call someone that's, you know, younger, maybe someone from the second team from Austin FC 2. You have Hector. You know what Hector can provide. Bringing in a younger guy, in my opinion, is taking a risk. I mean, you always hope that the player will develop well, but that's not always the case, you know.
I see what you're saying.
We can get a flop or whatever, but I think Hector Jimenez is, like what I said, an excellent professional. He's like that safe person that you can go to if you come in. I'm pretty sure he'll welcome you with, you know, open arms and make you feel welcome, make you feel part of the team. And you know, he's bilingual. I mean, I like that he's bilingual. There's a lot of players that I was trying to think of who else is fluent in English and Spanish on the team. I couldn't really think of anyone. If you guys can.
That's a really good point. I mean, Rodo Borrell also. I'm sure he can slot in. But go ahead.
But yeah, so I think he's a good asset right now. I do see him retiring at Austin FC. I don't think he's definitely he's not going to be pushing for another move or anything like that. And at the end of the day, he is taking a supplemental spot. So we're not losing much. And like Football Critic mentioned, we are broke right now. You know, we can be splurring. So we're just trying to make work with what we got. So
100%, bro. And now I know we're a little bit light on the right back position. You know, we have John Gallagher that could slot into that spot. But we also have Ture. We got to mention Ture, although it is unclear as to what we're going to do with him because he is on loan. We have the option for him, so it's interesting to see what's going to happen there. The supplemental roster spot, it's also important to note that against the cap, it doesn't count as much. The exact number, it's escaping my head, but I know that it's one of the least significant spots on this team's roster. But still, that didn't stop a lot of Austin FC fans from pretty much saying that this was a move going in the wrong direction. And one of those guys that had that kind of take was Neff. And I want to bring Neff on this topic because, Neff, you said by Austin FC making this move, this is not a serious club. Now, I want you to expand on that because, to me, this is a very serious club. Now, Hector Jimenez, to me, he's a veteran presence, three-time MLS champ. And just like Football Critic and Primo touched up on, his presence in the locker room could help us beyond that than what a player of his age, of his caliber, can do on the field. Like I think somebody mentioned right now, he's that bridge. And he's also bilingual, so he can talk to the Spanish-speaking lads, the English-speaking lads. And just like Rodo Borrell said, he's a great example for everybody coming in. So, Neff, expand on that comment that this makes Austin FC not a serious club. What did you mean by that?
I meant exactly what I said with it. I mean, you guys are talking about the club being broke and us not having money and not splurging. You're not splurging on a supplemental roster spot. And specifically this, I mean, if for a club that's so quote unquote broke, every spot is essential. So you want to have the best type of players in every type of spot. And if you're bringing a player who can't play into that spot, taking it away from a younger player who can at least give you 45 minutes of gameplay, come on. That doesn't sound like a serious decision to me. He can be in the locker room all he wants around these guys without having to have the title of player.
Okay.
He can be an interim coach type of thing. He can do all of that without having to occupy one of these roster spots.
Now, Neff, it is important to know, and I want to send a shout out to my G's from the North End pod, especially Zach. He found this little interesting loophole where even though we extended his option, Hector comes back one more year, it's still not off the cards that Hector could transition into that coaching staff role. And personally, I believe Hector would be fantastic to move into that in the near future. But I would like to see him maybe one more year as a locker room character to help kind of gel this team together, because ultimately that's exactly what he's being brought back to do. Now, this happens in World Cups, in any major tournament. You need a vibes guy. I'm not saying Hector is a vibes guy, but I'm saying you need somebody to kind of gel everybody together. Can Hector do that in 24? Does Rodo Borrell think that Hector can do that for him? We're going to see what happens. But I want to read some reactions from the fans on social media. We have here, I Need Lunch Money Mom at Not Really E. He says, I thought keeping Josh Wolf was the club's charitable move, kind of going with what Neff had to say there. Jordi Delgado, he says, not a serious club, kind of agreeing with Neff there. At Void Sky says, love Hector and his attitude in the locker room, but he should not be on the pitch next year. A lot of people with those kind of takes, I'm going to read just a couple more because I think they're pretty important to point out. Omar Gutierrez, different take. He says, sweet. Jason Cox, oh, come on. We're re-signing him to coach or what? He's 35 years old. I love the guy and his attitude, but Jesus Christ. A lot of fans kind of, you know, seeing it in a way that is maybe in a negative way. But one more person, Jordan, aimless friend. He says, welcome back, Hector. Keep the guys in line for us next year. Ha, ha, ha. Boys, what else can we add onto Hector Jimenez coming back to Austin FC for one more year? He's on an $85,000 salary. Who knows what it'll be for next season. Those numbers will come out soon. I do want to point this out. The supplemental spots in ATX right now in Austin FC are currently this. We have Hector. He stays in that supplemental spot. Danny Pereira occupies one of those spots, but Generation Adidas International slot as well. Damian Loss, homegrown supplemental spot. Owen Wolf, homegrown supplemental spot. And CJ Fodry, Generation Adidas supplemental spot. So a bunch of young guys, a bunch of young names, and one veteran, Hector. Now, I went to some other MLS clubs and saw their roster online, and their supplemental spots, they're filled with a lot of young names. And I just searched up just a couple. I went to LAFC, Cincinnati, Columbus, and the Galaxy. Now, they have a lot of younger guys, and I think Steve Cherundolo, LAFC's coach, he recently said that the guys on supplemental rosters, they can't just be passengers. They have to contribute in a way. The league is changing and everybody has to contribute, kind of going on what Neff said there. But Football Critic, is there anything else we can add on this move or the situation of Héctor Jiménez coming back for 24?
No, I mean, I think most of us are in agreement that we don't really, we don't expect to see Héctor that much on the field right now as a player, getting a lot of minutes, not at all. And we would want him as a coach, in part of the coaching staff, not as a player. But at the end of the day, we got to remember, hey, he's in a low salary, in a supplementary spot. Like, he's not hurting us that much. It's not like not firing Wolf to save money. No, that this would actually, it doesn't hurt us financially. And we are, like, every single move that we have seen so far tells me that we are in that transitional period of rebuilding the team, rebuilding the roster, right? We cannot just cut everyone because we still, at the end of the day, we need names to register and to have there to play if needed. And we cannot bring every single player that we want at once, right? Mm-hmm. So, and this is going to take, you know, more than 2024. It's going to take 2025, 2026. Mm-hmm. So it just tells me this is a rebuilding project. Not that I like it. Not that we want to see Austin being, you know, kind of weak for the next season, for next two seasons. But I think that just is what it is.
Now, just a couple more things before we change subjects, moving on from Héctor. We have some positive responses here. These are from the We Austin TV post that we had on Twitter. We had Tony Cardone. I believe he is the president or a board member of Austin Anthem. Shout out to Tony. He says, folks need to realize that some players have immense impact on the training ground and in the locker room and only see a few minutes of playing time. Seems like that's exactly the role for Héctor. His compensation was 85K last season per MLSPA. We mentioned that earlier. A very popular tweet, got 23 likes on that. And Tony DeTiger, shout out to my G. He says, he won't hit our budget if he's on our supplemental roster spot. Still, though, preferred him as a coaching staff than as a depth player. He didn't get minutes last year and probably won't this year either. He can still work hard and be a leader, just not as a player. We need depth. And one more. This is from Elver de Riquen. He says, this is definitely more of a locker room leader role instead of an on-field performer role, and I'm okay with that. So mixed takes. We see fans saying that they like the Héctor move. He's a leader in the locker room to make players gel with others. And we have other folks like Neff. And Neff isn't the only one. I'm not trying to call him out. You know, some folks had that same take, like, hey, this is not a serious move. This is not a serious club. We need to be making bigger moves. So I'll leave it up to whoever's out there listening to this. I mean, what do you think of the move for Héctor? Do you think it was a good move to bring him back for experience reasons? Or do you think that we need to move on and occupy these roster spots with young guys that could contribute to the team? So I'd like to know. Let us know in the comments below or talk to us on Twitter. You can continue the conversation there. All righty, boys. So shout out to my G Héctor, 85K. We'll see what the future holds for this young lad. 35 is not that old. I'm almost there in a couple years. But as a soccer player, it's another story. All right, gentlemen. Now, before we get into the conference finals, I forgot to sneak in this little quote from Salvatore Mazzaferro. We'll spend 2 minutes on it real quick. Mazzaferro spoke with One Soccer recently, and this is what he had to say on working his way up to the first team in Austin. He says this: I know the end result is always going to be to make that leap to the first team. I kind of have that mindset going into every game. I know I have to be that impact player on the field, and I know when that opportunity comes, I will be ready for it. The quote continues. He says, I just have to keep playing my game, keep listening to the staff, and taking those necessary steps to make it to the first team. Football Critic, this is a very confident young man. This young man seems like he knows exactly what he wants. Listen to me what I'm saying. Future Canadian center back, future Austin FC center back, do you have the same thoughts that I have right now, Football Critic? Would you like to see this kid come up to the first team?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, dude, you have a kid that for every single game, he has in his mind that his goal is not just to win that game, but to make it to the first team. That's who I want. That's who I want in my team. I want I want a player that only thinks about being great and helping the team, both FCito and hopefully in the future, the main team. I want that mentality 100% in my team.
100%, bro. When I heard this interview or this clip of this interview, and y'all can check it out on One Soccer, they're one of the leading accounts, leading platforms for Canadian players. They have over 30,000 followers on Twitter and on Instagram. They're also pretty big there. So this is a guy that One Soccer is keeping their eye on. They said he's a future Canadian center back, and they're very impressed with how this guy speaks. And honestly, I was very impressed too. Sometimes these young guys, they don't really know how to handle the media. But Salvatore Mazzaferro, he put on a masterclass type of interview. The way that he speaks, very elegant player. But Nev, I want to get your take on him. Same question as I asked Critic. Would you like to see this guy make his debut with Austin FC?
Absolutely, especially thinking how the center back positions probably are arguably one of our weakest. So I think he's definitely got a shot. And I'm excited to see him. I mean, he definitely showed lots of potential.
100%. Now, real quick, some stats for Salvatore Mazzaferro with Austin FC too. 27 games played, 27 starts, over 2,400 minutes. He scored 3 goals, keeping 12 clean sheets along with his partners in that back line and Damien Laws, who was a problem for other teams. 21 goals against, not too bad of the long season that they had. 25 interceptions and 12 tackles. Last but not least, Primo, do you want to see this guy make his MLS debut in verde and black?
Absolutely. I want to keep that in here. I would hate to see our young talent flourish somewhere else, because that's what that's there for. You know, that's mm-hmm. You know, these players are, we want to develop them so that they can play for our team and show out for our team. So it would suck for him to have a good run with FC too, and then for him to take his talent somewhere else. So yeah, I would absolutely love to see him play for Austin FC, make his debut there. And and I love his confidence, man. You know, young guy, he's confident, knows what he wants to make that leap into the first team. And hopefully he can be an example for everyone in that locker room, you know. I think that's exactly that everyone's goal. So yeah, hopefully it comes soon. It doesn't seem like it's too far away from him, and we'll keep an eye out for him.
Exactly. It doesn't seem like it's too far away from him, but I said that it's maybe a little bit too soon for the jump right now. But if he continues to work hard, if he continues to play his game, just like he said, and listening to the coaching staff, just like he said, 100% an MLS debut is on the card for this kid. And if it's not with Austin FC, I will be very, very upset, because this kid has what it takes to be a proper center back in MLS. Not just yet, but he has the potential to be that center back in MLS. And don't even be surprised if one day Salvatore Mazzaferro makes it into the Canadian team in the future. Especially, I mean, Canada doesn't have such a difficult pool to get into, you know what I'm saying? I think if you stick to your game, do what you need to do, follow the right steps, easy money. All right, gentlemen. Now, I want to move into a little bit of the conference finals talk conversation. We were there last year. It was an amazing experience last season. 2022 is something that I'll probably tell my kids about. It didn't end with a chip. It didn't end with a trophy. It ended with a 3-0 defeat to LAFC in the bank. Now it's, what, BMO Stadium. But this season, this year, our bitter rivals, y'all, Houston Dynamo, made it to the Western Conference Finals. Not only did they make it there, y'all, they won the U.S. Open Cup. So I want to spend a little bit of time talking about Houston, because a lot of folks were saying, hey, what are we going to do if Houston wins the double? I mean, what position is that going to leave Austin FC and Austin FC fans, and especially with all the banter that goes on with this fan base and that fan base? So I want to start off with you, Football Critic. What did you think of the Houston Dynamo and LAFC game? I thought it was, personally me, I thought it was a great display by the LAFC fans. I know a lot of people online were a bit upset because they had flares and they were adding MLS. They were saying, hey, I guess if LAFC can do it, we can do it. If nobody's going to say anything. But Football Critic, your thoughts on Houston ultimately losing 2-0 to LAFC and LAFC, you know, going back-to-back Western Conference champs?
Well, I mean, I think it was fair. Houston definitely improved a lot comparing to last season. Winning the Open Cup is, you know, all to their credit, and getting this far is also all to their credit. I never saw them as strong as to say, hey, they will get to MLS Cup final and they will win MLS Cup. No, but they definitely improved, right? And the only thing that I can think of when I see that is, man, I mean, Houston was seriously bad last season. They were absolute trash. And then they you know, they made these changes and they got this new coach, and HH, who didn't help that much last season, really helped them this season. I'm just saying, like, you can be so bad one season like they were in 2022 and make such a turnaround for the next season that, hey, it only gives me hopes for ATX. But then I remember we still have our coach. We still have, you know, the same system. We still have, so maybe not that much, but just tells me, hey, you know, changes are, big changes are possible for each and every season, especially in MLS. So I'm just waiting to see what we can do with Rodo now.
100%, bro. And I touched up on that with Gold's TV. Shout out to Manji Jose and also Cheyenne from Ray Green TV. We had a little show where we talked about this game. And I gave Houston their props. I gave a massive props. I said, Benny Ball, Benny Olsen, he came in, transformed that team, Football Critic, just like you said. They brought in 16 to 17 players to completely transform that organization. And they've been in the mud for a couple years. We got to be real. Houston has been in the mud, and their fans can also agree to that. But what I thought of it was like, hey, Houston fans, you don't have nothing to be ashamed of. And that's talking about a rival fan base. Hey, you guys have nothing to be ashamed of, because the 180 turn that this team did, this organization did, is something to credit. You know, you can admire it. You can appreciate what they have done in the little bit of time. Yeah, Ben Olsen has done a great job with this team, and I salute him 100%. But ultimately, at the end of the day, LAFC got the win. Ryan Hollingshead and an own goal by the Houston Dynamo player, it makes him go through into the next round. Wanga was, maybe he was neutralized a bit, but he was still a threat. Now, I want to ask Neff about the other side. We had Lucia Costa and Brandon Vasquez with Cincinnati lose against the Columbus Crew in a very dramatic fashion. Cincinnati was up 2-0. People were saying hell is real for Columbus Crew, but at the end of the night, hell was very real for Cincinnati and their fans, because Columbus came back 3-2, and they send themselves, they punched their ticket for the MLS Cup Final, which they will host in Columbus against LAFC. But Neff, your thoughts on this very dramatic Eastern Conference Final game?
Just like you said, very, very dramatic. I mean, it's just one of those games where you're just like, wow. What's going on?
Is this MLS?
Back to back. It's MLS, I suppose. But yeah, I mean, it's a shocking game, shocking result. Just Columbus wanted it more. And then you see, you know, a couple of things like Lucho not wanting to come off and sacrificing, just betting on getting to penalties. And, you know, just it kind of backfired on him and the team. And
yeah.
But yeah, electrifying result for them, and they'll be hosting MLS Cup, like you said, just like they hosted the MLS Next Pro.
Exactly, and that's something that we were touching up on today when we had that team meeting at the coffee shop. You know, we touched up on the fact that Columbus is hosting MLS Cup Final, and they hosted MLS Next Pro, and then we said something funny, Neff. You and I said it at the same time. What did we say?
They're gonna lose both.
They're going to lose both, man. We're terrible. We're absolutely terrible. But hey, Columbus and Austin, if y'all remember, we have that little tiny beef. But great take from Neff. Great take from my G, Football Critic. Primo, I want to ask you a little bit of a different question. From Cincinnati and Columbus, if you could poach one player for free, who would you bring to Austin FC?
From Cincy?
And Columbus.
Or Columbus?
Or Columbus. One
for
player.
For free?
For free.
I know he had a little bit of a stinker towards the end. My boy Matt Miazga from Cincinnati.
Oh, okay, Defender of the Year, Matt Miazga, maybe public enemy number one for going into the referee space and, you know, getting banned by the league, but a very interesting choice at center back, Primo. I thought you were gonna say Brandon Vasquez because of our troubles at the nine, but hey. A good team always starts from the back, and Miazga would be a huge help for this back line at Austin FC. So good pick, Primo. Good pick. Boys, let's see. We talked Cincinnati. We talked LAFC and Houston. Maybe a bit of a prediction for the MLS Cup Final. Who do we have on the top flight pod? I'll start off with my pick. I got a LAFC going back-to-back MLS Cup champion. Football Critic, who do you got?
I also feeling like LAFC is going to do it.
Oh, the double. It's extremely hard to double in MLS, and I believe the last time somebody doubled was 12 years ago, if I'm not mistaken. They went back-to-back. Neff, your pick.
LAFC.
LAFC. Okay. Primo, your pick.
As much as I hate to say it, Columbus Crew, man.
Ooh.
I think they're going to surprise. And I mean, think about it. LAFC's one of their biggest advantages is playing at home, bro. They played last year's final at home. They had the crowd behind them. So it's going to be an interesting game. Columbus ain't no pushover either. So, like I said, you know, we Austin and Columbus have that beef. And as much as I hate to say it, I think Crew's going to take it, bro.
We got to be real. The Crew has some serious firepower back there. I went back and forth with this with my G Cheyenne from Rave Green TV. You know, I had Cincy. He had Columbus. And he said that he feels that the reason why Columbus could win at all is because they have the ability to clap back in situations where you think they might be down and out. You know, they took out Philly. They took out Cincinnati. Cincinnati, yes, they didn't have Matt Miazga, but they were down 2-0, and they still came back. They got that fight in them. So I do want to give them credit for that. They got some great players. They have a great coach in Wilfred Nancy, and they're a scary team, a scary team. So, Primo, you might have a good point here moving forward, but we'll see what happens. The final will be December 9th. And I don't know what time it's going to be. I'm going to watch it 100%, and we'll see what happens then. Are they going to double, or is Columbus going to, you know, win the MLS Cup? Last time they won it was a couple years ago. I remember they won it the day that I proposed to my girl. It's funny because the ceremony was outside, and MLS Cup final was going inside. And while everybody was like, oh, this is so special, it's beautiful, and taking pictures outside, I was going in and out the house. So I was like, damn it, Columbus is up. And they were like, dude, you're getting engaged. And I was like, the MLS Cup final is on. So it's a really interesting memory I have the last time Columbus won the MLS Cup final. But all right, boys. We got some end-of-year awards to get into, voted by the Patreon members, the people that are on our Discord, and also the people from Warehousing TV and Top Flight Pod. I want to take a moment to thank every Patreon member, everybody that's on that Discord. I appreciate you very, very, very much. I know the guys here appreciate the support very, very much. And one thing that we discussed in the meeting that we had today was how can we give more content, give more back to the people that believe in us, the people that support our content. So in 2024, expect us to go crazy for y'all. Thank you so much for believing in us, for supporting our content. And in 2024, it's going to be on a whole nother level. So thank you. But the end of year awards, guys, we have goal of the season, goalkeeper performance of the season, favorite game of the season, worst game of the season, post-match moment of the season, the best local reporter slash journalist, fan reaction moment of the season, most improved player of the season, of course, the FCito player of the season, and last but not least, Austin FC player of the season. So if I could get a small drum roll, I don't know if you could hear it, but we're going to start off with the first one, the goal of the season. Now, again, this was voted by the Patreon members and the Discord members. So if you disagree or agree, we're going to make a post and y'all can comment on Instagram and Twitter and let us know if these were the right decisions to make, the right people to award. We love controversy, so maybe there's going to be one that folks are going to be like, ain't no way. Alrighty. So starting off with goal of the season, I think this is pretty easy. I don't know. It might be, but we gave it to Gallagher versus Real Salt Lake. Congratulations, Gallagher. Goal of the season. I remember when that ball went into the back of the net, I couldn't believe what actually just happened. I knew Gallagher was good. I knew he was a baller, but damn, John, this was a hell of a strike. So shout out to Mr. Gallagher for winning goal of the season from Top Flight and We Are Austin TV. Gentlemen, moving forward to the goalkeeper performance of the season. Now, this one was tough because Stuber had to come up big multiple times. And this was tough because Damian Loss also came up big for his team multiple times. But ultimately, the goalkeeper that won this was Brad Stuver. Ladies and gentlemen, we gave it to Brad Stuver because maybe he got a little bit of first team bias, but he went absolutely insane against the San Jose Earthquakes. The game was where he had multiple saves against Jeremy Abobasi, and that's the game that we gave Stuver the best goalkeeper performance of the season. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Sorry. let us know in the comments below here on YouTube, or talk to us on Twitter and Instagram. Moving forward to the favorite game of the season. Now, Football Critic, we were going maybe back and forth on this, trying to decide if this was the right one to give it to. But it's two games. We couldn't really decide. So it's maybe like a moment. Now, it's the back-to-back Houston and Dallas wins, where we were maybe in a little bit of a mud and we came back with 3-0 wins. Houston and Dallas. Football Critic, do you think that this was the right moment, the right game to give it to? Because the second place one was the Seattle away win. Do you think that the fans and the folks at Western TV made the right choice?
I think so. I mean, we were in a low. We were really, really in a low place in that moment. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, we slapped Dallas 3-0. And then we slapped Houston 3-0. And we're like, we're playing like 2022. We're happy. We're at our peak. I mean, we are so incredibly happy in that moment in a season that was so incredibly horrible all season, right? So I gotta say that those two were the best games we've played, and that was our best moment.
Now, I clearly remember going up to Sporting Kansas City and getting our butt whooped 4-1, and I remember everybody saying, yo, this is a wake-up call. Guys, this is a wake-up call 100%, and the boys did wake up for two games at least. In June 21st, we beat FC Dallas 3-0, and June 24th, back-to-back games, we beat Houston 3-0, and then we tied against Inter Miami 1-1, and then the Leagues Cup came around, and everything went interesting after that. But the favorite game of the season, according to the Patreon members and the staff at We're Austin TV, was the back-to-back wins against Houston and Dallas, where we combined for 6 goals and conceded nada. So congratulations, boys, for getting that award, I guess. Now, moving on to the worst game of the season. I want to get Nev's take on this one, bro. I haven't heard from you so far. Worst game of the season. I think this was the easiest one. Personally, leaving the stadium this night at Q2, I never felt worse. Leaving Q2, walking to my vehicle after this game, I felt empty. I felt like somebody came and reached into my chest and pulled my heart out and ate it right in front of me. The worst game of the season is the CCL loss to Violette at home. Nef, is this true or is this cap?
I mean, yeah, it's right up there with embarrassing defeats in history of football, to be honest. I mean, I don't know how else we can put it.
It made it around the world, bro.
National headline.
It made national
headlines. Yeah.
100%.
International headlines, yeah.
International headlines, I agree. One of the worst moments of the season. Yeah. One of the worst moments of the season for a lot of Austin FC fans. I know B feels the exact same way. But Primo, you think this was the right match to give it to for the worst game of the season?
I think so. I mean, some people would argue and say it was the away game. Yeah. But, I mean, we talked it out when we were at the meeting, and some valid points were brought up. Violette's bench.
Had two players on the bench, bro.
Two players on the bench. We won, this but we game, lost.
This game wasn't even going to be played. Remember, there were people saying, oh, they're not going to get the visas. CONCACAF is not going to help them out. They ended up coming to Austin, playing the game, and knocking us out, bro. Go ahead, Primo.
Yeah, and, you know, they handled business when they needed to. And so as much as we tried, I think that's what hurt the most. Like, we tried so hard, and we still got knocked out. So it was our first ever appearance also in the CCL. And to just go out like that at home in front of your fans.
In front of the world. In front of the world. Bro.
In front of the world, because I have a lot of friends that aren't into MLS, but for some reason they always bring up that game, bro.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're not even into Austin either. Like, they that's the moment that is in their mind, like, yeah. Not even us reaching conference final is important to them. They remember that moment.
Yeah, bro. In my little CONMEBOL bubble, like, no one ever talks about MLS. No one says anything. In that moment, after that moment, you could hear, you know, for any whatever argument about MLS, not Austin specifically, just MLS in general. Hey, this team of MLS, Austin, just lost to a team from Haiti. I mean, they don't play football. They play soccer. They're bad. We made such horrible news, bro. Austin FC wasn't known to the world, but it was known that a team for MLS, Verde and Black, lost to a team from Haiti in a horrible manner.
Horrible manner. Even though we did win that game, it wasn't enough to overturn the aggregate scoreline. Violette went through 3-2. And the only joy that I find from that night, the only joy that I took away from that night, is the happiness that I saw in the Violette fans that went to that game. Because there were Violette fans that were from Haiti living in Austin that went to that game. And there were some of them sitting kind of close to us where we were at in the supporter section. And they were happy. You know, they were ecstatic. This was probably one of the best days sporting-wise of their season, of their whole year, maybe the last decade. I don't know. But the Violette players, the guy that made the press conference interview after the game, he was crying. He was in tears in that conference. I mean, that's how much it meant to them. And not to sound soft or anything, but that's the only joy that I took from that, is the fact that a fan base in Violette that has gone through so much, you know, political-wise, you know, everything that went into this game was crazy. The fact that they found joy in it, they got some joy out of it. You know what? I'm gonna say that was the only joy that I took from this game. The fact that they had a really good time. But for us, we thought that was going to be the end of it, but little did we know 2023 was going to be a hell of a roller coaster ride. That was only the beginning of our season. All right, boys. Spent a little bit of time on the worst game of the season. CCL lost to Violette at home. Let us know if you agree or you disagree with the staff here at Wearsing TV and the Patreon members. The post-match moment of the season. Now, this was a close one, y'all. It was tied on votes, so this went to the board, to the committee, to the Wearsing TV staff. And we ultimately had to decide what was the best post-match moment of the season. Now, the loser, the one that came just short, and it was a crazy moment, was George Iturralde, Jorge, asking Josh Wolf, Coach Josh Wolf, when will we see Wolfito in goal? That was a crazy question, maybe a little bit unprofessional, but it definitely had a lot of fans talking on social media after. Now, the winner, the one that ultimately got this one, in the bag, the winner of this award, the best post-match moment of the season, was my G, Ethan Finley, on his goal. What was it, after the League's Cup, right? Right? It was when Ethan Finley scored his goal. He says, to be honest, I don't give a shit. It came in a loss, and he pretty much went on with his day. Everybody knows exactly what quote I'm talking about. Ethan Finley not caring about his goal because it came in a loss. And the fact that he was so clear and so blunt and just so unfiltered, it really kind of just had the listener saying, like, whoa, is this Ethan Finley? Like, hold on, what did he just say? He doesn't give a crap about his goal because it came in a loss. And some fans were saying that it was being misinterpreted, that it was being reported irresponsibly. But Ethan Finley said what he said. Now, we decided it was the post-match moment of the season. Primo, you think this was the right one or eh?
Yeah, I mean, I can't really think of anything bigger than that. You know, we were already in shambles, I think, by that point. And that kind of just made a strong point to, you know, a player kind of agreeing and seeing, like, we're shit, bro. And so that's, you know, he didn't care about what was going on at the time, because of just how bad everything was at the moment. So there might have been maybe like a Drusi interview somewhere in there, but
the Biri Biri.
Yeah, Biri Biri.
The Biri Biri. But, that was a moment.
Yeah, but I mean, all those players were frustrated, man. And I think Ethan Finley was just the man at the moment. He's the one that decided to just step up that day and say how it was.
I'm trying to refresh my memory on that, but I don't know if that was the day that Ethan Finley was the only player that stayed and talked to the media. You know, that was...
It was, bro.
I mean, any
other interviews coming out that day.
No, I've been a big Ethan Finley stan. Everybody knows it, but that was one of the days that my respect for Ethan Finley jumped another level. But shout out to my G, Ethan Finley. You got the best, the best post-match moment of the season. All right, guys, moving forward to the best local reporter / journalist of 2023. This one, I think it's well-deserved, earned, not given. Credit to Mr. Phil West. Shout out to Phil West, best local reporter / journalist, won by a landslide. We appreciate everything that you do, Phil. Obviously, everybody that voted for you appreciates everything that you do as well. And if you like Phil West's work, consider joining his Verde Substack, Verde All Day. He writes multiple articles. He's probably the one that keeps up most with his team article wise, and some very good knowledgeable things that are put on that Substack. So Phil West, congratulations. Best local reporter / journalist standing on business, Phil West. Moving forward, guys, the fan reaction moment of the season. Now, this one was very easy. The fans also made it very easy for themselves. The League's Cup exit versus Mazatlan, although it wasn't the exit yet, we exited against Juarez, but the League's Cup Mazatlan loss generated an insane amount of views on TikTok, on YouTube, on Instagram, on Twitter. We had fans coming out from different parts of the world, different parts of the country, different parts of other countries saying, yo, why are these Spanish-speaking Austin FC fans rooting for an MLS side and not rooting for the Mexican side coming into town? It caused a lot of conversations. There were some nasty things said on TikTok comments. But at the end of the day, the fan reaction moment of the season, in my opinion, in the League's Cup bubble, was when Verde Hasta La Muerte said, we played like a bunch of beep. And that was against Mazatlan, if I'm not mistaken. So, Football Critic, your thoughts on this choice that the fans made and the Western TV staff pretty much agreed on. Austin FC, fan reaction moment of the season, the League's Cup exit. I'll get an F-stick after.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, we're having a horrible season, and then we're aiming for a League's Cup. And there's all this discussion about us getting the weakest teams in Mexico, right? And then Jorge having his own battle, media battle, with the very Mazatlan president, I think it was. Like, it's like so much going on around us, and then we losing. I mean, and then Verde de la Muerte just says that. Like, yeah, he said what everyone was thinking. Like, yeah, absolutely.
It's funny because I think Nev knows this page. Nev, you follow the page Cabra Football? You know who they are?
Yeah.
You do? Okay, so if you don't remember, Cabra Football actually shared that clip onto their socials. And they're a huge platform that covers, you know, CONCACAF Football, Liga MX, MLS. The fact that they shared it really gave that clip, that video, more traction, and it brought more fans to see it. But what was your thoughts, Nef, on the Mazatlan and Juarez exit? Because fan reactions-wise, that was probably the highest point, the peak of engagement on social media, and not in a good way.
Nah, but I'm not going to lie to you. That was probably one of the most fun games to attend. I mean, just the pregame.
The pregame was lit.
The pregame that Mazatlan brought was awesome, honestly. Me being Mexican born, it felt nice, like having that like Mexican atmosphere in at Q2. And it was also very refreshing to see all of those faces, like Football Critic said, of all those people saying that we got the weakest teams in Mexico, and coming to Q2 and doing what they did. Because I remember I spent a good month before League's Cup telling everybody, just don't underestimate these teams. They might be bad in Mexico. It's a different level. Like, don't underestimate it. And well, what happened happened, but personally, that was probably one of the most fun ones to attend.
Okay, I see what you're saying, and you were spot on that prediction that people needed to not underestimate these teams. You said they were faster than us and they were hungrier than us, and both of those things came out to be 100% true. And I'm sorry for not taking your take more serious that day, which I should have listened. The quote from Ethan Finley, remember we were talking about a couple minutes ago, it was from the League's Cup. The quote is, League's Cup is over for us. We're on to MLS. The goal came in a loss. I couldn't give a shit, if I'm being honest. 18 weeks ago, it came in League's Cup. Ethan Finley, unfiltered. Wow, love the guy. All right, guys. Moving forward to, and we're getting towards the end of the end of year awards. Thank you for keeping up with us. The most improved player of the season. Now, this one was a little bit of a struggle to try to decide ultimately who the award was going to go to. It was a split decision. It was a tie. The fans voted for two names. We had Emiliano Rigoni and Johan Valencia for the most improved players of 2023. We ended up going with Valencia. Why? Well, because we thought that maybe 2023 was a bit more of a breakout season for Valencia than it was for Emi Rigoni. Rigoni did improve, yes, but Valencia showed us a bit more and had us maybe more confident in his ability than Emi Rigoni. Emi Rigoni does have that DP status, and maybe that's why we're treating him a little bit unfairly. Valencia, most improved player of the season for 2023 Football Critic. Do you agree or do you disagree?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you see Rigoni, he's that kind of player that you see like, yeah, they technically improved on paper, you know, like, yeah, the numbers don't lie, but you saw him on the pitch, you saw the season, and it was just like, you're not satisfied with it, especially with that DP tag. While Valencia, while he didn't get that much of a playing time, you could definitely see like how well he played at times for us. And I've said it multiple times, I'll say it again, if he's being played right. So I think Valencia is one of those players that you are confident and happy to have, especially after what we saw this season, you know, again, if he is being played right. So I'll give it to Valencia 100%.
Most improved Valencia for the 2023 MLS season for Austin FC. Valencia, shout out to him. Right now he's enjoying his vacations with his wife in New York City in the Big Apple, La Gran Manzana, as Football Critic might know it. Shout out to my G. But they're hanging out in New York City. He's checking out a bunch of museums with his wife, having the time of his life. Now I hope he enjoys his time and he's ready to come back, because we got the Coachella Invitational and I want to see everybody fit when that Invitational comes around. But shout out to Valencia and congratulations on your award as the most improved player of the season. Credit to Valencia. Very excited for him next season. Now moving forward, guys, we got the last two, and these are the heaviest, maybe most prestigious awards we're going to give out tonight. The Fcito Player of the Year. I think this was maybe one of the easiest choices. Fcito had an insane amount of great players. I mean, championship run, championship team, everybody was together. It was a brotherhood. It was a joy to watch these kids play. I looked forward to watching our second team play. And I remember at the beginning of the season, when we went to go watch their game at the pitch against Houston, I remember telling Bali, Primo, and I remember telling Bia, I was like, if the first team isn't careful, these kids are going to be more exciting to watch than the first team this year. And it ended up happening like that. So the Fcito Player of the Year goes to Mr. Damian Loss. Well-deserved, 100%, earned, not given. A player that made us fall in love with the goalkeeper position all over again, because sometimes it's a little bit underappreciated. A guy that was more than an asset for his team. He was one of the reasons why they were able to lift silverware, and we're very excited to see him join the first team next year, because we got some information here and there that he will be the backup 100%. Josh Wolf has hinted at that, but somebody solidified it for us. Damian Loss, congratulations, Fcito Player of the Year. Now, second place was Salvatore Mazzaferro. So a lot of fans also took note about Salvatore's dedication and his talent on the field. So no knock on you, Sal. Damian Loss, he just had it in the bag, bro. But boys, thumbs up. This is proper, right? This is the easy one. 100%.
100%. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. All right, gentlemen. Now, the last award we're going to give here tonight on the end of year awards for the Washington TV award show, the Austin FC Player of the Year. I know it was a tough year, y'all. I know it was not what we expected. And you can maybe ask yourself, how can you give out an award for a player of the year in a season like this? But there was still a lot of hard work out there. There was still a lot of dedication, blood, sweat, and tears that went into the season, believe it or not. The results weren't there, but the guys still had to put in work. And one of the guys that was a nonstop hard worker, a workhorse, a guy that we knew we could depend on week in and week out. And when we saw him go to the All-Star Week, we were very proud of him. Now, the only All-Star we had this season, I know by now you figured it out, we gave this award, ladies and gentlemen, to none other but the Irish monster, John Gallagher. Congratulations, Mr. John Gallagher. One of my favorite players for Austin FC. I hope you're here for years to come. Your hard work and dedication inspires me to do better in my job, and I appreciate you, and thank you for being the person that you are in Austin FC. Now, Football Critic, am I being a little bit too emotional with this award, or am I spot on?
Oh, no, I think you're spot on. I mean, we had a horrible season. Jersey wasn't the jersey that we expected. Danny was very reliable, but he wasn't, you know, that shining star for us. But Gallagher, man, when you have a defender being the top goal scorer for a long while in your team and being the guy that you don't want out, I mean, you got to give it to him. Like, that it was amazing.
100%. Now, he did have a quote at the beginning of the season where Gallagher said, hey, like, I'm scoring goals right now, guys, but don't expect me to put 15, 20 goals because that's not my position. And we were like, yeah. You just keep playing and keep doing your thing, Mr. All-Star, and just try to keep scoring goals for us. But John Gallagher, amazing player. Neff, anything you want to add on this amazing player?
No, I mean, if anything, I'd like to give an honorable mention to Alex Ring. I mean, I think he showed that, you know, he had a lot of courage this coming season. He was definitely done wrong, especially towards the beginning. Everything kind of went wrong for him, and he showed out. I mean, he did what he had to do week in, week out, covered positions that, you know, he wasn't comfortable with, but he did it, and we think he had a pretty solid season. So shout out to him, definitely shout out to Gallagher, and hopefully next season we're talking about, you know, giving this award to a goal scorer, like a very proven 100%. Goal scorer, you know, so a more quality play.
100%. Now, no knock on Mr. Gallagher, but this is a little bit of a reflection on how our season went, because usually this award would go to guys like Sebastian Drusi, Emiliano Rigoni, Jazzy Zardes, but unfortunately those guys didn't pull their weight, maybe you could argue, in the 2023 season. And Gallagher was a guy that week in and week out was an amazing performer, and it was a no-brainer that 2023, the player of the season, John Gallagher. And I think Primo would agree with me on that. Now, boys, thank you for helping me and everybody pick the winners for this. If the listeners here agree or disagree, let us know in the comments below. Goal of the season, goalkeeper performance of the season, favorite goal of the season, worst game of the season, post-match moment of the season, best local reporter and journalist, fan reaction moment of the season, most improved player, FC to player, and Austin FC player of the year. If you have a different answer for these, let us know in the comments below, and we can go back and forth to see if we can get to a solution or to middle grounds with these. All right. Now, gentlemen, we have just a couple more minutes on the Top Flight podcast here tonight, and I want to spend it on a little bit of European talk, because we mentioned it in the introduction of the show. We're going to talk about a little bit of European talk because, guys, it was a crazy weekend in EPL land. I mean, Arsenal still the leader. City tied versus Tottenham. Interesting game there. Haaland left the pitch fuming. Liverpool, in dramatic fashion, with the Trent Alexander goal, beautiful goal, by the way, they defeat Fulham 4-3, and another crazy game because they had 10 men. Chelsea, Gallagher, was it Connor Gallagher, gets a red card early on in the game, leaves his team with 10 men, but Chelsea still defeated Brighton. What was it, 2-1? So big ups to them. I know Tucker, Nino, all the Chelsea fans on Discord were going absolutely crazy. Big moment for them. But Football Critic, what was your game of the weekend in the EPL?
In the EPL, after all those, I'm going to have to say Liverpool-Fulham. Because okay. I did not expect that game to be like that. Fulham actually played well. They seemed very competent. Darwin Nunez missing sitters, as always.
As always.
But man, what a match. I mean, Fulham tying and then Liverpool catching up and then winning the very last minute, 2 goals in like 3 minutes, 4 minutes, something like that. It was crazy, bro. It was amazing. I loved it.
I loved it too, mate. It was one of those games that just kept you on the edge of your seat. And Trent Alexander with a very important goal. But goal of the game, I want to give it to McAllister. Qué golazo se aventó McAllister. Oh my God, bro. A player that we knew was good, but I mean, I didn't know he had that much of a rocket in him. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to Mr. McAllister. You know, Tottenham tied against City. Very interesting game. Chelsea, like I mentioned, they defeated Brighton with 10 men. But some results across the Premier League before I get into La Liga with my two boys down there, Primo and Neff. Some other results. I'm pulling it up right here. We had Bournemouth tied with Villa 2-2. Another draw, West Ham Crystal Palace. Newcastle defeated United. Sorry, my G, Eric. It was a very tough game to watch, but United was on a good run. Newcastle is a Saudi team. We all know what's happening there. Everton defeats Nottingham Forest. Sorry, my G, Mark Turner. But I think Nottingham Forest is still in a pretty good spot. They're probably going to get saved. Burnley defeated Sheffield United 5-0. Arsenal beats Wolves 2-1, and Brentford, of course, they beat Luton Town 3-1. Crazy weekend in the English Premier League, one of the best leagues in the world, probably the best league in the world. But boys, moving on to what some fans call the most corrupt league in the world, La Liga, where Madrid and Girona are tied with points. Girona is not going away. And very funny, I had a City fan, one of my really good buddies, his name is Michael, he's a big City fan. He said, you guys are tied with the Farmers team in La Liga. So, and then I was like, hold on, bro. You do know that Girona is a City group team. So technically that makes you a Farmer too then, I guess. But Nef, Madrid and Girona, they're still fighting, bro. I mean, we said that Girona is going to phase out, but they're still there, man. I mean, as the president of the Peña of Austin, as the biggest Real Madrid fan in Austin, Texas, how does it make you feel, Nef, that we can't shake off little Girona?
I said it in a couple episodes already, and I'll say it again. They haven't faced real tough opposition other than us. So just keep it waiting.
So you're not worried?
If they do.
President is not worried.
I'm not worried. I'm not worried because we're Real Madrid. However, if Girona is able to keep up toe-to-toe and keep this up, they of course they deserve they all the props to them. I mean, they do play amazing football. And just like Football Critic was saying, it's just they're a joy to watch. They play beautiful. But I'm not concerned.
Okay, I like that take. Now, Primo, I want to ask you this, mate. Does at the end of the season, does Girona make top four?
I think so. I think they make top four because, I mean, they've been consistent with the rest of the teams, even though they haven't played a good team yet. There's not, you know, if you want to be real, the big teams is Real Madrid, Atletico, and Barca. So I think if you're able to handle the rest of the league, you should be able to slip into fourth.
Okay. All right. Now, right now, some standings in La Liga. We mentioned first place, Madrid, 38 points. Just behind them, tied on points. Madrid is only ahead of them based off of goal differential, if I'm not mistaken. And maybe that head-to-head clash, because like Nef pointed out, we already defeated Girona. But 38 points between Madrid and Girona, first and second place. Barcelona, 4 points behind with 34. They're in third. They won today. We'll talk about them right now. And Atleti, the team that Barcelona defeated today, they have 31 points. They're in fourth. And then fifth place, Athletic Club with 28. And sixth place, Real Sociedad with 26. But another big game in La Liga, and I want to get Football Critic's take on this one. Atleti, they lose to Barcelona 1-0. Very interesting because the goal scorer is no other than Joao Felix, who chose to celebrate his goal instead of doing the classic. He celebrates, man. So your thoughts on this win for Barcelona, important 3 points against a rival, but the celebration, maybe a little bit of disrespect from a young player who needs to learn a little bit more. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I'm not surprised, right? I mean, he left Atleti to Chelsea. I guess he didn't want to be in Atleti. And then when he got to Barcelona, he was like, he cried because he finally got to his childhood dream club and whatnot, right? So I'm not surprised he celebrated. What I am surprised, though, is that Joao Felix, a Barcelona former Atleti fan, celebrated like Jude Bellingham, a Real Madrid player. Like, what's going on? I did not expect that at all.
I wonder if Arturo Vidal is going to come out after Joao Felix and say, oh, he needs to celebrate his own way. He needs to create his brand. He needs to make his own thing. But no, no, no. It's just because it's Ronaldo, because it's Garnacho. Easy clicks, la gente está hablando, it is what it is. But I want to see those same people that criticize Garnacho for celebrating like Ronaldo come out for Joao Felix for celebrating like Jude Bellingham. ¿Dónde están? Den la cara, por favor. Nef, anything you want to add on this Atleti-Barca match, brother?
No, I mean, it was honestly, to me, it was just another game. I don't watch too much Barcelona or Atletico. Honestly, I'd rather keep up with other teams. Betis, for example, plays fairly well on a good day. Athletic clubs are actually an interesting watch every so often.
No mientas, Nev, por favor. Yeah. No mientas, Nev. Athletic Barça is must-watch soccer.
Bro, you know no you mientas. Google those results. You know you Google the results after Barça plays.
No mientas, Nev.
I don't have to. I don't have to. My team's at the top. I don't depend on other teams losing to make a spot. So
your team is tied at the top. Your team is tied at the top.
Yeah, and as long as we keep winning, we'll stay at the top.
Fair.
You didn't want to watch Atletico after that game versus Madrid. That's the truth.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's true. You know,
I can always watch two Champions League finals to remember how good we are.
Typical Madrid fan, bringing up trophies. Hey, but you know what? We win them all the time, so it's hard not to bring them up.
What are we talking about here?
You're right. You're right.
I mean, are we not talking about trophies here?
That's true. That's true. My fault. My fault. Calma. Calma, por favor, with the Champions League behind you like that. All right. Now, gentlemen, changing gears real quick into Bundesliga, just 1 minute on this amazing achievement. Bayer Leverkusen is still undefeated. Xabi Alonso's men in the Bundesliga cannot be taken over. They still find themselves undefeated. Football Critic, real quick, give us your take on this achievement by them.
Just ridiculous. I mean, it's ridiculous what they have done. They were losing, though. They Dortmund was ahead most of the game. I think they scored like minute five, fifth or sixth. And then Leverkusen tied was like 79th, something like that. So it was just, to me, it's just crazy how in the Bundesliga, a league where you have Bayern dominating every single year, and if not, it's Dortmund, right? And out of nowhere, you get to coach this team, and your very first year of coaching, you get them to be undefeated.
Says a lot.
Absolutely.
Definitely a bit of a path there for Xabi Alonso to make his way to the Real Madrid first team. But there's competition because there's also Raul Gonzalez, a Real Madrid legend. He's done a great job with Castilla, if I'm not mistaken. He's working his way up too. But I think I saw conversations of him maybe getting a job somewhere else to kind of work his way up. But Xabi Alonso, I mean, a guy that we should be looking at for a future Real Madrid coaching job when Ancelotti won't be there. Because as much as we love Carlo, as much as we respect Carlo and everything that he's done for the club and all the debuts that he's given players, Carlo's not going to be there forever. You know, he has other jobs that want him. He has that Brazilian job. And Real Madrid is a team that's always looking for the next big thing in the future. So I'll be very excited to see Xabi Alonso coach Real Madrid. He's a player that I have a lot of love for. He won Champions League with us. I'll never forget the day or the moment when he jumped the guard. He jumped that, went onto the field, and ran with his team to celebrate Sergio Ramos' last minute header in that Champions League final. He wasn't able to play that final. I remember he got a red card or he got a yellow that had him suspended in that semifinal before, and I remember I was so heartbroken. But you know, people came in and still got the job done, and because of that Champions League, it really inspired a whole dynasty. And Xabi Alonso holds a special place in my heart, and I'd be very excited to see him play. Very excited to see him coach Real Madrid. Now, boys, last but not least, Liga MX playoffs are on fire. Not for me, though, because my Chivas crashed and burned. I guess that's still on fire. They crashed and burned their way out of the playoffs, losing tonight against Pumas 3-0. Now, on Twitter, I said this. I said that Chivas only scoring one goal at home was going to be their downfall. I said it was going to be a big problem, and look what happened. Pumas defeat us 3-0. We go out 3-1. I don't know what to say, but Primo, you might have a bit more of a positive note on this because your team is going forward. You guys knocked out the most expensive team in Mexico. Is it the most expensive team in CONCACAF, if I'm not mistaken? Monterrey, a team that has so many pieces, goes out against San Luis. Now, we compared it to David against Goliath. Primo, your take on San Luis ultimately going through and knocking out a very expensive Monterrey.
I mean, it's definitely a bit of a shocker. If you've been following Liga, you would notice that, you know, San Luis was up there. I mean, they're competing for sure for most of the season. They did stumble a little bit towards the end, but we're still able to sneak into playoffs. And I mean, we beat Monterrey, man. We took care of business at home, and going away, playing away in Monterrey, it's tough. You know, it's a big stadium, it's a big crowd. Those fans are really passionate about their team. But I think what's pulling this team through is that they believe that they can win against these big teams, and they don't they don't let the crowds, they don't let the media overtake that. And so they're focused on the group that they have. They have a really good group right now. And I think that's what's driving them forward. You know, they play decent football. And so I don't know who we're going to play next. I think who else made it through? America made it through.
America is through. They took out the CONCACAF champions. Okay. America, San Luis. America took out León, the CONCACAF Champions League winners. So San Luis, Monterrey, Pumas would face the winner of Tigres and Puebla. Tigres is currently winning 2-0 in the 42nd minute. So Nef confirmed America faces San Luis. Yeah, you're right. That is confirmed. I saw that graphic. And Pumas would face the winner of Tigres Puebla. So do you fancy your chances against America, another giant?
Absolutely. I mean, we lost 1-0 against them, like last month, I think, which isn't too bad. It's not, you know, but the playoffs is different. There's an away and home game. So I still have hope. You know, I wasn't really worried about Monterrey. I mean, it wasn't to the point where I was like, oh, my God, they're going to kill us or anything like that. So I'm feeling the same way about America. I know America is a strong team. They've always been very strong. So if we somehow pull through, it will be massive.
I'll tell you what, buddy, man, I'll say this tonight on the Top Flight Pod. If San Luis knocks out my biggest rival, my biggest op in Liga MX America, I will buy you a jersey of whatever player you want from San Luis. I'm saying it tonight. Do me that favor. Talk to your boys down there. If y'all knock out America, you're going to have a new jersey on your back. And I know you like a lot of jerseys because you probably have more in your collection than I do. I don't know. Nef has a lot of jerseys too, but Primo has a pretty sick collection. We can add a little San Luis swag into there.
That'll be nice.
It would be nice. But all right, y'all. We're at the end of the podcast here tonight. We had a lot to talk about. Thank you for keeping up with us. We had the end of year awards, conference finalist talk, European talk, and of course the Hector Jimenez segment at the beginning of the pod. So thank you for sticking around with us. Shout out to the Patreon. Shout out to everybody on Discord. Shout out to everybody that keeps up with our content on social media. We do it for you guys, and we're very excited for what's about to come in 2024. Shout out to the team. Shout out to Tony Foto. Shout out to Scotty, to JC. Everybody that was at the meeting today, shout out to Eric, of course. And once again, just appreciate all the support that we get from everybody out there. Gentlemen, time to sign off. Football Critic, Primo, Nef, anything else you guys would like to add on to the end of the episode?
I mean, this feels like this MLS season has been going on forever, bro. I'll give you that.
We forgot Hook 'em Horns, baby. Let's go. That's a really nice way to sign off. Football Critic has that nice little polo. Shout out to every Longhorn fan out there. I love Austin. I love everything in this city. Austin FC, Longhorns, we're coming at you. Who do we play? We play Washington? Better watch out. This has been another episode of the Top Flight Pod. I'm your host, Hernan. Thank you, Football Critic. Shout out to Primo. Shout out to my GNF, the biggest Real Madrid supporter in Austin, Texas. El Madridista más tejano de todo Estados Unidos. Neftali. Shout out to my G. But all right, guys, have a good night. And hopefully everybody has a good week. Can't wait to be back with more Patreon episode coming this week. So have a good night, everybody. Have a good day. Have a good rest of your afternoon. And please be safe. Later.